Welcome to the Quickening Report. Patrick Wood here, your host for today. This is going to be a difficult episode today because we must again talk about the government with respect to the topic of free speech. We know over the last 4 or 5 years there has been a horrendous assault on free speech in America. There was a lot of thinking that, well, it's big tech that's doing it. Well, it's Facebook, it's Twitter, etc. And while there is some truth to that, the major proponent of crushing free speech in America has been the government of our country. We saw this with the release of the Twitter files, for instance, from that were released to a journalist that has investigated deeply into the correspondence that went on during the COVID debacle with Twitter in particular. And we found out that there was a number of agencies of the federal government that were in direct collusion with people at Twitter to censor speech, to censor the narrative that they wanted to promote and that they didn't want anybody else to question. This was legendary. This was an absolute major revelation, I think, to most people to realize that our own government had been responsible for the majority of censorship. At least they were involved in it. Maybe it was a 50-50 affair, big tech plus government. Nevertheless, our government was the instrument that was used to crush, or at least attempt to crush, free speech. Now, we would have thought that the mere revelation of that would have stopped a lot of behavior at the government level. You would think that they would get a clue that the public is onto what they're doing. And because people are watching now, that they would not pay attention, that they would turn away from it. But they haven't. In fact, it's even getting worse at this point. And of course, the Twitter files only concern Twitter. Didn't have anything to do with Google, didn't have anything to do with Facebook or other social media platforms, YouTube included, didn't have anything to do with those. It was strictly just looking at Twitter. But we know there was also collusion going on with the other social media companies as well, and the other like search engine and so on. This is just, this is unmistakable at this point. We would have liked to have made it history. Just, okay, it's over. Guys, we busted you. We got your number. We know what's going on. You need to stop it. You can't do this anymore. We would have expected maybe that Congress would have stepped up and said something like, excuse me, over there, Mr. Executive Branch, what are you doing? And when are you going to stop it? If you don't, we're just going to defund you. We're going to take away your money, whatever. They could have done all kinds of things, even if it was just jawboning the administration. But the fact is, we know now, many in Congress are in complete, complicit agreement with what the administrative state is doing, what the administration is doing to crush free speech. You say, how can this be? People that got elected on the basis of, you know, taking an oath to defend and support the Constitution, using free speech themselves to put out their message to get elected in the first place, you would think everybody in Congress would be pro-free speech. This is not the case. There are many now that are turning around and attempting to deal a final blow against free speech in America. I hate to say this, and the biggest reason I hate to say this, if you don't already know it, is that in 2018, I founded an organization, a nonprofit organization called Citizens for Free Speech. I saw it coming. I saw the collusion between Facebook and Twitter and others at that time, and I knew the assault was going to intensify. I never had any idea that it would intensify to the level it is right now. I never would have believed back then that the American people would not have stood up before this and not just said no, but heck no. I never would have expected back then in 2018 that our congressional representatives would not stand up and just scream bloody murder, that you cannot destroy free speech in America. Free speech is foundational to the operation of a constitutional republic. In fact, any government in the world, for that matter. We know this. We know this in Europe, for instance. People are crying out for free speech in Europe. And those people in Europe believe that that's just a fundamental human right. It doesn't have to be encoded in a constitution per se. It's a fundamental right that people have because they're alive. They should have the right to free speech, to speak their mind. This is not the case in many countries, especially in like in China, for instance, and in some cases in Russia as well. But now, the reason I'm worked up about this in particular is that Congress and the Senate have introduced joint bills that are designed literally to crush free speech. And the reason they're doing this, the rationale that they're doing this, is because they want to kill TikTok, the social media platform that's enjoyed by hundreds of millions of people around the world. They want to do away with TikTok. So we've seen over the last couple of months this frenzied kind of a moment of hate, if you will, frothed up against TikTok. The CEO of TikTok went just recently before Congress and testified. They grilled him hard. And the American public has been angered by this. And of course, this is propaganda. They bought the propaganda. And now everybody in the country believes, well, we have to kill TikTok. We have to get rid of TikTok. They're an agent of the Communist Party. They're out to try and destroy our country, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not to say that that isn't the case either, by the way. But you know what? TikTok is a problem. But it's not a problem the way it's being addressed in Congress. This has become a tool of propaganda. And as much the same way that 9/11 became a tool of propaganda as well. We ended up getting the Patriot Act because of that, as Americans were whipped into a lather of anger and fear. They were offered a solution. Well, it's the Patriot Act. Yeah, that's what you need. And remember that was during the administration of George Bush. Yeah, and Dick Cheney, the member of the Trilateral Commission, by the way. No, there was no Democrats lurking in the woods there, was there? Yes, the Patriot Act came straight out of the Bush administration. And it was based on fear. It was enabled by fear. People would never have allowed that to happen if they really understood what was going on. But it had nothing to do with 9/11 at that point. The Patriot Act came out basically just as an instrument of control over Americans. Really nothing, very little to do with foreign entities. Now the process is being repeated in the internet realm. Now TikTok is the enemy. Not the people who attacked the Twin Towers, but now TikTok is the enemy. They represent China, as they say, and so China is going, you know, they need to be punished and we need to get rid of TikTok. So instead of just submitting a bill to Congress, it could be like a two-word bill, just two words. I'd love to write legislation. Two words would be ban TikTok. That would be it. And that would be in a TikTok. I'm not sure I even want to say that that's a thing to do, but I'm just saying you could write a very short bill to get rid of TikTok. But that's not what's happened. Now we have, in the Senate, we have a bill called the Restrict Act. The Restrict Act. And people across the country that understand the issues of free speech are hopping up and down over this, that this is a giant, giant violation of free speech in America, and it is existential, potentially existential to free speech in America. The title of this, the headline of this story that I put in here on Technocracy News just today is Warning, Restrict Act is a huge Orwellian censorship grab. We've never seen anything like this before. And I haven't anyway. I don't think you probably have either. And there's a companion bill in the House called the Data Act. We'll look at that in just a second. But I want you to notice here, I'm just going to scroll to the bottom of this paper. This article, just to show you who the Republican co-sponsors are of the Restrict Act. This is a list of Republicans that are supporting the Restrict Act. Starts out with Senator from South Dakota, John Thune. He's actually the sponsor, the co-sponsor of this act. You've got Deb Fischer, Republican, Nebraska. I'll just go down the states. Kansas, Alaska, Maine, Utah, West Virginia, North Dakota, Iowa, North Carolina, South Carolina, yes, Lindsey Graham supports the Restrict Act. And you look at the rest of these people, you wouldn't be surprised probably to find Mitt Romney supports the Restrict Act. And so here you have all of these Republican legislators that are willing and able, they're going to vote that way, to put an ice pick into free speech in America and literally turn America into something like China, where censorship is everything. The Chinification, I call it, of America is underway. And this bill, the Restrict Act, which ostensibly is directed towards TikTok, but it's not, even though it mentions TikTok once or twice, the bill gives such broad powers to the president and to the administration that if they take off on weaponizing this, of course, you know, any bill, many bills are there and they've never been enforced. That's a fact. There's lots of laws on the book that are never enforced anywhere. They could choose, of course, to turn away from this. The White House could and say, well, we're not gonna enforce that act. We see it, but we're just not gonna do it. No, that's not the way it works with this. If power is granted towards the administration to do the kinds of things that this proposes to do to TikTok, free speech is a goner in America. It's just going to be absolutely a goner. And they will use that power. They've demonstrated their willingness to do it vis-a-vis the Twitter files that have revealed the nature, the desire of the administration to cause censorship to happen. And if they can go after the platforms, the ISPs, the VPNs as virtual private networks, if they can go after individuals even who visit certain websites that are deemed a risk to national security, they all of a sudden can become in harm's way. You remember the parent, the mom in Colorado that was protesting at school board meetings. And the Department of Justice all of a sudden decided, because of some interaction with a nonprofit organization, that she was a threat to national security. She was a threat. She's a domestic terrorist. And so she received a visit from a SWAT team sponsored by the FBI. It's inconceivable. But you see, anybody in America that does, if they're doing something that is not deemed to be appropriate by the administration, they can be labeled as a domestic terrorist. They can be labeled as a threat to national security in a heartbeat. It's just a stroke of a pen. Who decides this? Not Congress. The bill gives the power to the president and to the agencies of the United States to make those decisions on who, what, when, where, why, and how. The penalties for violating this are just huge. We're talking in terms of maximum 20-year prison sentence, $1 million fine for each for each violation. It's absolutely incredible. So some of this is, you know, we could go into some detail on this, and I'd like to, but I think it's going to take a little bit more analysis, probably. But you have, my goodness, a number of alternative news sources now are absolutely up in arms in this because they see the danger in it. They see that it can be misused so easily to crush free speech and to crush them. You know, we see all the people that were put in jail arbitrarily because of the J6 incident. Many of those people were just wandering around the mall, the National Mall, not having a clue what was going on, but their picture got taken, as many people, almost everybody's picture was taken, and facial recognition software identified him. But they were picked up and you know, charged with crimes, and they said, what, I was just walking around, didn't have a clue. Yet they were charged, and some of them ended up in prison, and they're still there. You say, well, if that can happen, tell me why it can't happen over here in terms of national security when you're talking about internet activity. So if somebody is viewed as colluding with an enemy site or using a VPN to get somewhere that they're not supposed to get, that they could be charged under this act? That's exactly it. So the Restrict Act, in any case, was introduced by Senators Mark Warner from West Virginia, or from Virginia rather, and Tom Thune, Republican from South Dakota. And they, of course, they say it's aimed at blocking or disrupting transactions, first to TikTok, but now the language of the bill could be used to give the U.S. government enormous power to punish free speech. Yes, that's, you heard it, punish free speech, and punish those who are dedicated to free speech. Now, Warner himself, a Democrat from West Virginia, is a longtime opponent of free speech, who, as Michael Krieger pointed out in 2018 and confirmed in the Twitter files, he pushed for the weaponization of big tech. He crafted the Restrict Act to take swift action against technology companies suspected of cavorting with foreign governments and spies to effectively vanish their products from shelves and app stores when they pose a threat too big to ignore. That was according to Wired magazine, or Wired website. The bad actors listed in the bill, of course, are China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Russia, Venezuela. Now, there always has to be enemies. This is, we saw this even back in the movie that was produced on 1984, the book by George Orwell. You have to have enemies. You have to put up a straw man that's going to be the ultimate enemy. In this case, it's China. Of course, Russia now has been declared to be our mortal enemy as well. But then you can throw in Iran, you can throw in Cuba, and you can throw in North Korea and Venezuela. It almost doesn't matter what the names are anymore. It's just like, okay, you must hate these people. You must be ready to just stomp them out, stomp them in the ground. And while everybody is busy over there stomping shadows in the, you know, in the grass or whatever, things like this Restrict Act are slipped through. Say, well, we've got the answer here. Yeah, zip, here it comes. And all of a sudden, we find it's law. This is on an express track right now to become law. It hasn't yet. If it makes it, well, it may be over the cries of the American people to stop it. But if we don't stop it, we're going to be in deep, deep water as far as free speech is concerned in America. So the author of this story writes, in reality, the Restrict Act has very little to do with TikTok and everything to do with controlling online content. One website called The Refuge writes this. In very specific terms, a lot of U.S. websites would be impacted. Why? Because a lot of their websites use third-party plugins or widgets of software or software created in foreign countries to support the content on their site. The Restrict Act gives the DNI, that's the Director of National Intelligence, the ability to tell a website using any foreign content or software that might be engaged in platform communications the U.S. government views as against their interest to shut down or face a criminal charge. In very direct terms, the passage of SB 686 would give this Department of Commerce, the DNI, and the Department of Homeland Security the ability to shut down what you are reading right now. This is a big deal. And let me just say this business of, how things act on the internet right now. I have a website, as you know, called technocracy.news. I've had it for several years. This is a site that I maintain myself. I have a background in the technical industry. And so I have enough knowledge of the industry and of the field to be able to host and create and maintain and manage my own software, my own website from the ground up. And the fact of the matter is, there is no such thing as purely American software anymore. It's like all over the place. There's developers, they collaborate from all over the world. Even a platform like, let's say like WordPress, for instance, the developers of WordPress are from all over the planet. you can't really say that WordPress is, well, it's an American firm, and if anybody uses WordPress, it's okay. And there is a number of programs in that community that are also developed on foreign soil. There's programs that are developed in Russia. There's programs that are developed in Ukraine, in Romania, and you know, various parts of Europe. I haven't run across a whole lot from China, but we certainly have some from South America, some from Mexico, etc. And these programs, all of which are quote-unquote foreign entities, could all of a sudden summarily be declared illegal. It potentially could take down half the websites on the internet with one fell swoop. This is unacceptable. So, this writer concludes, this is a big deal. It flat out is a big deal. The Restrict Act can also be used to punish people using virtual private networks, VPNs. And you know, you've seen all the ads over the years on how important it is to use a VPN because it protects your privacy. It protects you from being discovered at your IP address, at your home or your business or whatever, or wherever you might be. So it's supposedly a security act for you. If you use a VPN to do your browsing, to do other stuff like that, your traffic is routed through the internet in such a way that you kind of remain anonymous, like where you are and that sort of stuff. You remain anonymous. Well, this is going to potentially take after all the VPNs in the world, too. Can be used to punish people using virtual private networks if they're used to access banned websites. And directs the Secretary of Congress to identify, deter, disrupt, prevent, prohibit, investigate, or otherwise mitigate that which is deemed a national security risk associated with technology linked to the above countries. Okay, so be careful. You know, if you go through a VPN and you inadvertently intentionally access a website in one of these restricted countries, you could be in jeopardy. If you're discovered, you could be in jeopardy. Why would you be there in the first place? Well, that's your business, not mine. And it shouldn't be anybody's business, really. You know, it's interesting with TikTok. TikTok is definitely a Chinese company. There's no doubt about that. But in China, the activities of TikTok is limited quite severely. In other words, it's censored. They censor their own program in their own country. We're not censoring it. They're censoring their own. They censor TikTok in their own country. Students or, you know, young people can only access it a certain amount of time a day. You can only say certain things on it. If you don't, your social credit score is going to go to pot. They've managed to censor their own product just fine. We can't do that? Are you kidding? If China can do it, we can't censor the same TikTok to clean up their act? No, apparently not. We need to have the Restrict Act, 54 pages of legislation that spells out just about everything but dealing with TikTok. So now the federal government will have in its power, in its hands, you know, all kinds of power, to authority now to do stuff. Reason Magazine came out with quite an article on it, and they said the language describing who the Restrict Act applies to is confusing at best. The Commerce Secretary would be authorized to take steps to address risk posed by, quote, any covered transaction by any person, right? Yeah, so what counts as a covered transaction? The bill states that this means, quote, a transaction in which an entity described in subparagraph B has any interest. Entities described in subparagraph B are a, quote, foreign adversary, an entity subject to the jurisdiction of or organized under the laws of a foreign adversary, and an entity owned, directed, or controlled by either of these. Foreign adversaries can be any foreign government or regime that the secretary deems a national security threat. Yeah, it's a bit gobbledygooked, they wrote, but this could be read to imply that any person using a VPN to access an app controlled by a foreign adversary or its alleged minions is subject to the secretary's ire. That's probably about, at least I would say, probably a quarter to a third of all internet users in America. They could potentially be nailed by this. So just to show you that these two bills exist, I'm going to switch over to congress.gov, which is the official website. And this is Senate Bill, just so you know, 686, you can remember that. It's called the Restrict Act. That's actually an acronym, but remember it, Restrict Act. And you can see, if you go there to this website, it's easy to find, congress.gov. You can find the full text of it. It's right here, S.686. And you can read down through this bill. Here's what it really stands for: restricting the emergence of security threats and risk information and communications technology act. Well, that's a mouthful, but it spells the acronym RESTRICT. Clever, isn't it? Yes. Who writes this stuff? I have no idea, but they come up with these acronyms. So you can read the Senate version of this bill. And just coincidentally, there also is a House version of the bill as well, H.R. 1153, that's called the DATA Act. That also is an acronym. And you can read the full text of this. If you click on the text tab here, you can read the whole thing and see exactly what it says. And this has been reduced by Mr. McCall, as we already said, introduced the following bill, which is referred to the Committee on Foreign Affairs. Now, it has to pass through some committees and some debates, et cetera, et cetera. There's going to be a lot of resistance in the House because the Republicans now have somewhat of an edge there. But remember, in the Senate, there was a host of Republicans that voted or in support of the Restrict Act. So probably a lot of Republicans are going to cross over in the House as well and vote for the DATA Act to go through. So between the two of them, if it's passed in the House and it's passed in the Senate, it's going to be a fait accompli. It will be done. We can't let that happen. This is too important, too much of an existential threat, and we just simply cannot let it happen. I'm going to give one last appeal, by the way, for Citizens for Free Speech. This is a nonprofit I referred to earlier, citizensforfreespeech.org. We need you folks to be online with us. We need you to be supporting us. We're not fighting this battle just because we got nothing to do. We're fighting this battle because we're fighting for our lives. You need to fight for your life too. Citizens for Free Speech is one of the very few action-oriented organizations in America that's doing anything really to block this whole nonsense that's coming down the pike. Please stand with us. Go there and join up right now if you can. It doesn't cost anything to join. Just go do it. Well, in the meantime, thank you for listening today. If you learned something about the Restrict Act and the assault on free speech in America, can't let it happen, folks. I'm Patrick Wood, of course, for the Quickening Report. Listen again, spread this around. See you tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless.